Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
And you're very welcome back to Friday's 9 till noon show. Good morning if you are after joining us. You missed an interesting first hour of the show where we heard from Mary Hart, Leonard Watson, Councillor Micheál Colum, Miguel Nasbeg, and now on to the really important communications, those that have come in from you. On a matter of profound change, the Irish people should have a say in the form of a referendum on mass immigration. Can Ireland say no? There's interesting moves ongoing in Europe in that regard at the moment, where they're refining what's going to happen go forward. We have an option to opt in or opt out. And to this point, we haven't opted in. We'll talk about that a little bit more as the story progresses. Hi, Greg. Dee Forbes was wanting the government to hand the collection of the TV licence to the Department of Revenue. You know what that means. If we don't buy a TV licence, the revenue can send the bailiff or sheriff in. Another, we have no accountability in this country. Do you remember all the tribulations, all those scandals, how many lost jobs or jailed? Do you remember the banking scandal years ago? Where was the financial regulator? Why was no one jailed like Iceland? The Children's Hospital, who granted that contract to that contract? When we, the common people, knew that he never completed the job in time or on price. People should be ashamed for not insisting over the years that heads should roll and lots be jailed. Another, whoever is held accountable in Ireland, who is ever held accountable in Ireland? Nobody. Who was held accountable for the smear test scandal? Well, that's another story. Sometimes you're elevated to greater positions, even if you're involved in a scandal. In 2004, says this listener, the Irish people decisively rejected immigration in a referendum. How did that go? Another, good morning, Greg. All focus is on RTE at the moment. I would like to highlight something I heard on the Joe Duffy show some months ago. Apparently, we've been blocked from finding out what pay individual TDs are receiving. This is also a public money and should be available to the public to analyse. It's very suspicious when information like this suddenly ceases to be available. It's just not acceptable if this information is not available to any of us anymore. Well, it's not. It is freely available. You have their incomes and their expenses are available annually, as is there, and this is what we're going to see in RTE now, a register of interests as well. So you can go in and find out what interests they have in terms of property ownership, on companies, whether they rent houses or own houses. There is quite a lot of information out there as it relates to TDs. That hasn't been withdrawn, so I'm not sure exactly what you're referencing there. The big wages in RTE go to the biggest spoofers. Ignoring your conscience comes at a price. Same for TDs, believes a listener. Another, tell Mary Hart that the problem with the TDs is they are not standing up or speaking for the people who voted them in. They promised us at the doors they will do this and that, but once they get elected, they turn their backs on all. That's one person's view there. RTE never had public accountability or answer ability. I have a complaint to them about omitting coverage on an important All-Ireland child protection issue. Highland and many other radio and media outlets covered that, but they blatantly ignored it. Why is the Garda not called in to investigate? Well, that was put to some of the witnesses in the Oireachtas yesterday. They were questioning if some of these practices were illegal that required a Garda investigation. No one really took them on. But when the word fraud or defraud was used, it makes you wonder if that Garda investigation might be launched at some point to look into what's going on. It's a myth that we get balanced reporting on public services. They play to the piper and omit or minimally cover important news like defective concrete, water, Section 32, Mary Boyle, parental alienation and so on. I watched yesterday's proceedings and heard Alan Kelly say that he was getting hundreds of emails and texts from staff in RTE asking him to question the directors about all the cars given to senior staff. It seems the lower paid staff are delighted to now have the opportunity to spill the beans on their oppressors. I think a lot more will be revealed as this inquiry progresses. I think what's happening is though there's an awful lot of contractors who do outside deals. You will see familiar faces like... there's a woman that works for RTE at the moment, and she's also the face of Centra, I believe, and advertising wine and what have you. That's outside deals. A lot of these cars, what would be interesting is if someone has a deal with a car manufacturer, if they work in current affairs, because I was under the impression, and they apply here too, I can't advertise something, for an example, so I can't go over to production there and do an advert because I work in current affairs, you see. So I don't know how all that works. All media is either state-owned or by the select few, says this listener. Most people are not listening to mainstream media anymore. They get their info elsewhere because RTE, the BBC, all are as bad now as the Chinese or Russian state TV. Complete bias and their agenda being pushed. Everyone who has access to internet knows this. That is why there is now such a oust in Canada, New Zealand, Ireland, etc. are doing their best to block it. Another, I think there should be a protest like the water charges and scrap the TV licence fee. It's a disgrace and a lot of people can't afford to pay the licence. Another here, can we stop all this hard-working journalism in RTE talk? One journalist covers five stories a year. The Young Scientist shows teachers' conference, leaving certain CEA points. No sign of the rest of that journalist for the rest of the year. Hello, Greg. Please ask Micheál Colum how much public funds will be wasted replacing the signs in West Donegal and the red spray. Of course, I don't have much time for RTE or Ryan Tuberty, but there is so much controversy around this whole RTE thing. I think about the girl waiting 5 years for the scoliosis operation. No public account meeting for her. It's a joke. So much hypocrisy. Politicians delighted about the whole RTE debacle. It takes attention off them for a while, says a listener. Another, I think that people should say some heads have to roll for this, including those who don't know what their wages are. Anyone or any organisation that gets public funding should have their wages and expenses published weekly. RTE has become a shameless vehicle for peddling the latest government fetish for all things global and, by extension, all things anti-sovereign and any, be it climate change, trans issues, you name it, they play it. Hi, Greg. The aircon's on and it's blowing my comments off. Hi, Greg. It's sad to say, but I tell my three kids every night when they come home and when they're all qualified, get the hell out of this country because Greg is finished big time. The only thing is these types of controversies are not exclusive to this part of the world, if the truth be told. Why, Greg, is nobody mentioning the licence? Surely it's a gesture to the public. We don't pay it for a year. People should not pay it. What can they do? Well, you see, the government would pay them anyway. So even if it didn't come out of your pocket directly, because it is a state-funded organisation, it would come out of taxpayers' money, which is you, again, anyway. So I don't see, that might make us feel better, but it doesn't save us any money as such because that would be clawed back through another tax down the line. The government are not right-wing. Did he not say left-wing? I don't know. I get confused with all those wings anyway. A caller says, I've cancelled my direct debit for the TV licence. Those Public Accounts Committee hearings were shocking. No accountability, nobody taking responsibility for huge sums of our money being spent on the sly. On frivolous things to benefit the already well-off. That entire board needs sacked, not allowed to resign, sacked. Maybe once this process, although the incoming Director-General says that he is going to shuffle up that executive board. The structure of it is really quite confusing. Why have Revenue and the Gardaí not been asked to go in and investigate RTE? Well, Revenue is investigating RTE and they've already paid €1.2 million of your money. Because of bogus self-employed contracts. They have already put aside many, many more millions to be paid to Revenue because of these bogus contracts. They are also pursuing and looking into now whether or not paying this money, which is not subject to VAT, to a UK company, and then it being returned to people working for the radio, for the TV station and radio station in RTE in Ireland, whether all the tax was paid on that money. So there is an investigation there. Revenue will have a great interest in that. Gardaí, at some point, I expect, will investigate whether or not the public was defrauded, would be my expectation there. TV licence is going to have to go. No one's going to pay it after this fraud. I think lots will. I think some won't. I think lots will, though. Greg, the way to solve the RTE saga is to close the station. Don't think they have a big following anyway, unless the news. Well, they have significant listenership. There's no doubt about it. In the likes of the Northwest, you'd probably have, just to give you a breakdown, roughly probably about 70 to 80% of people that listen to radio in Donegal listen to Highland, about 18-odd percent listen to RTE Radio 1, and about 6 or 7% to FM. So people in the Northwest generally tend to listen to Highland. I'm not saying that in a boastful way. I'm just telling you, because we see the figures, we can tell you that it's around 70, 80% listen to Highland, at about 18, 19% to RTE One and 6 or 7 odd percent to 2FM daily. So If that justifies their existence or not, I'm not sure. Right, so welcome back to the programme. Councillor Nicholas Crossan joins us on it now. Good morning to you, Councillor. Thanks for taking the call.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, now, you have concerns about the traffic, both human and vehicular, at Buncrana Pier. What's the problem as you see it?
Well, it's kind of a hardy perennial this time, Greg. It comes with the good weather that there's a group of youths come down to the pier in Buncrana, some on the bus, some travelling by car. And we have a few issues down there. The pier is fairly narrow, so there's a queue of cars waiting to get on the ferry. And when the ferry comes in, there's a queue of cars coming off the ferry, which is a danger to people walking about. The issue is it's the mouth of the Mull River. It's not the best. It wouldn't be my favourite spot in Buncrana to go swimming on. And there's a sewage treatment plant nearby. So, but more or less, it's a public awareness society to divert people from that particular place for swimming and send them to some of the nice, beautiful beaches that we have around and around Buncrana.
Yeah, but I presume they want to jump off the pier.
That seems to be the attraction. But like I was out recently at Ned's Point, a fort which is a mile north side of Buncrana, and there's a slipway down there, exactly the same purpose. Lovely, clean, fresh water, great spot down there. Plenty of parking and around it, you're not disturbing anybody. Like sometimes the RNLI go down, sorry, not the RNLI are parked down there, and sometimes if they're called out, the guys are down there, it's a hurry, they have to get parked quickly. I know there's a reserve spot for them, but I mean, like if there's people in the water, it's a delay for them to get out past that. If it's low tide, they have to manoeuvre to get out. There's various aspects. It's not a suitable spot for swimming. They're coming down, they have drink with. There's drink down at the pier, which is breaking the bylaws in Buncrana. There's no drinking in public places in Buncrana. And there should be no drinking down there. There's broken glass. People walk around in the summertime, their bare feet, and getting injuries. So there's an awful lot of issues we have that could be, if anybody wanted to have a good time in Buncrana, go swimming, is to go to a sandy beach.
So are you looking for it then to be discouraged or outlawed, like with signage and what have you?
Discouraged would be a good word, Greg, to use. I'm not saying like don't go in there. I know you're saying that there's the proper way to go down there, the fun of jumping off the pier and getting up the steps again. But it's a danger. There's an awful lot of concrete down there. There's a pier spilt over 200 years. It's just, if they knew the history of it, there are pleasure boats, not that wild many. There's a nod fishing boat come in. So it's the pier's used. Mm. So it shouldn't be used for swimming, I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, but I mean, discourage people. You can go to Mull and Soul. You can go to Mount Charles, you can go to Cranford, you can go to Downings, you can go
to Port Salon, Rathmullen,
and so on and so on. And in a way, the pier is sort of like the heart of the community when the sun's out for jumping off and swimming and coming up the steps.
Yeah, and most of those.
Like, why is it a particular problem in Buncrana then?
Well, all of those places you've mentioned, bar one, has no ferry going in and out of it.
Mm.
Rathmullen Pier is a different pier completely. Where they go swimming on Rathmullen Pier is on the other side of where the ferry is. Mm-hmm. It's a narrow pier. Buncrana is a very narrow pier, and it's very dangerous for the ferry in low tides. And that's what I'm asking them to discourage that. To discourage them, it wouldn't be the cleanest place in Buncrana to swim in as well. It wouldn't be, as I said earlier on, it wouldn't be my favourite spot. Nor, I would say, very few people from Buncrana actually go swimming in there. So you're on the mouth of the Mill River. So I would try and discourage people. Tell them not to swim there. Try and discourage them. But certainly when they go down there, that they have some bit of responsibility and there should be social awareness. And you can't have antisocial behaviour down there.
Mm-hmm.
When there's children waiting to get on a ferry. So that's more or less what I'm trying to say, Greg.
And you raised this issue at a recent council meeting. You had the backing of other councillors as well. So what happens next then? I mean, I don't know if it was a motion or if it was just concerns you were raising, but did the executive give you any assurances or any feedback as to what can be done or what might be done?
Yes, they were talking that regarding this end, that we could put up signage like they have on other beaches, no jet skis you know, within the limits.
That's
of
a bylaw there, situation, though, you see, isn't it? That's
yeah, but
different.
We have, but yes, but
swimming,
we have bylaws for no drinking. My yeah. biggest fear down there, there's people drinking down there, jumping off, fooling. If you're fooling down on a beach and somebody pushes you, fall the height of yourself. Down there, you could fall 10 or 15 feet into the water. You could hit your head on concrete. It's not a safe environment to go swimming. It's not the cleanest place to go swimming. And there's antisocial behaviour on it. So that is what I'm trying to discourage. Mm. And the guards were called, and the fair play to Councillor Donoghue, who was down last with Tidy Towns last weekend, tidying the place up afterwards. You know, it's not fair on that cleaning up the broken glass. People go down and where they get a few beers and then start breaking glass. But sure, Greg, it's the antisocial aspect as much as anything else.
Yeah, and I suppose the image it... I mean, if I'm reading between the lines here, what you're saying is a lot of the people that would be down there drinking and jumping and what have you aren't actually from Buncrana, yet when people come across on the ferry and disembark or arrive there to head off, that is the sort of imagery that is associated with Buncrana.
Well, the first impression goes a long way. So the first impression you go down there, if there's people walking around or maybe changing or from bathing costume into their own clothes or whatever the case may be, people sitting on the pier drinking, cars parked nilly-willy across the pier that people are finding it difficult to get off the ferry, standing looking at the ferry coming in when cars are coming off. All these issues add up. Mm. And that's what we're trying to do, is to discourage people. Use the pier for what it's used for, boating for the RNLA, for pleasure cruise or for the ferry to come in and out. It's not for swimming or antisocial behaviour.
Councillor Nicholas Crossan, thank you very much indeed. What are your views out there? 086 60 25,000. Do you concur with Councillor Crossan and some fellow councillors, or do you want to see this practice of young people enjoying themselves, albeit according to some dangerously and in an intoxicated way, at Buncrana Pier? What do have your say is what I'm saying here. Right, now we have another family pass to give away in association with Eclipse Cinema and Walt Disney Studios. We're giving away a family pass today to the movie premiere of Disney Pixar's latest movie. It is Elemental. It's in Eclipse Cinemas on Wednesday, the 5th of July. This is a full 2 days before the general release, so this is your opportunity to get along to a bona fide premiere. You can get dressed up as your favourite Disney character, just prepare yourself for the red carpet, whatever it might be. We'll have plenty of popcorn and treats in store for all who make the premiere to make that experience all the more special. So if you want to be in with a chance to win a family pass, now that's a flexible family pass, we'll work with you on that. All we're inviting you to do with your child, or if you're the child, with your mum and dad or whomever it is responsible for you, send a WhatsApp video or voicemail to our WhatsApp number. It's 086 60 25,000, and all you have to do is tell us why your family should win a place. The winner will be announced at the end of this show. Just to let you know that Disney Pixar's Elemental opens in cinemas on July 7th. So we have a pass on this show, but also to let you know, Around the Northwest is coming from Chrysler after this show, and they also have a cinema pass up for grabs as well. So text in your video or text in your audio to 086 60 25,000, telling us why you should win that pass. All right, we mentioned this a couple of times during the week. This is the move from the EU taking its first significant step towards launching a digital version of the euro, a controversial project that's been questioned by politicians and banks. From China to the United States, Jamaica to Japan, more than 100 central banks worldwide are exploring or preparing to put in place digital currencies as electronic payments grow, changing the way people spend their money. Professor Brian Lucy is a professor at Trinity Business School and joins us on the programme now. Professor, thank you for your time.
Not at all. Good morning.
Right, Brian, what do these proposals actually look like, and how likely are they to come, in your view, into reality?
So what they're proposing really is to have, think of it in the simplistic way, of the European Central Bank acting a little bit like Stripe or Visa or PayPal or any of those financial intermediaries, if you go down to get a cup of coffee and a roll for lunch, probably now you're as likely to tap and go as you are to pay cash. So when you tap your bank card or your phone as or your smartwatch or your glasses or whatever smart device you have, basically the background plumbing of that is done through Visa or Visa debit or through Stripe or somebody like that, or, you know, Pay and Go or SumUp. We're all familiar with these. In effect, what would happen here is that the European Central Bank would be stepping in and acting in a very similar way. Now, there's more complications than that. But from the perspective of the individual user, it would be essentially the same as using a tap and go card or your Google Pay or your Apple Pay or whatever it would be. Mm-hmm. Now, how that would work in the background is that the ECB would effectively have a wallet on your phone or on your smart device, or you would add it presumably to an existing wallet, and you would have a balance in there which you could use. So, from the perspective of the retail user, either the shop or the cinema, you were talking about, you know, cinema passes earlier on, or the individual person purchasing their diesel, really would have no major difference to what you would do now.
Yeah. So, but they're creating a solution to a problem that's already been solved from a consumer's perspective, which makes then the consumer very suspicious of really what the motivation is.
Well, it's probably less from the perspective of the consumer, perhaps, than the retailer. We call them retailers. You know, it would be a more instantaneous payment for the retailer. So, you know, it would be done in an instant rather than done in a couple of days through settlement. But yeah, it very much is a case of stepping into an area which is already well populated. Now, you know, competition is good. But the question has to be asked as to, you know, why this, why now? And to some extent, I think it's a case of ensuring the stability of the infrastructure. If you have this facility, then you know that it's under the control, ultimately, of the issuer of money. Right now, if for whatever reason, let's say PayPal and Stripe, you know, took the hump, and Visa, and said, well, we're not dealing with the European Union, or we're not dealing with the state of Thuringia. You know, for whatever reason, commercial entities, they could presumably do what they want. Then, you know, that would cause a significant amount of disruption.
It would, but say, right now, but if that were me, say I took the hump with Stripe, I could go to Revolut. Or if I took the hump with Revolut, I could go to the next. If this is a centralised, EU-controlled system, there won't be an alternative or a competition to it. So that puts all the power.
No, there will be. I mean, they're not saying you have to use this. They're not going to enforce this is the only way. I mean, this will simply be an option that will be there for people to use if they wish. If they don't, they don't. It's not a case of the ECB saying, Stripe, Revolut, SumUp, Visa, you know, thank you, goodbye, we don't want you in Europe anymore. It's simply saying there's another option here which is probably slightly faster for everybody to use. In the same way as right now, if I go downstairs and, you know, I put €20 across the table, that €20 is there instantaneously. It's an instantaneous form of payment. Now, there have been instantaneous forms of central bank-mediated payments around the world for some considerable time. The Japanese, the Nigerians have been doing this for a long time. It has been less in the form of using a digital wallet and more in the form of using the traditional kind of fintech that we are used to, you know, through the tap and go type systems. So this is simply an alternative. It's an option. It's there to be used if people want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't have to.
I get where you're coming from. And initially, they're talking about having a cap of 3,000 initially, but there are people concerned that this could move forward. Is this another nail in the coffin of cash?
Well,
or coins at the
there are definitely
maybe.
There are definitely trends around in terms of, you know, people using less cash. That's happening globally across the world. Cash is declining as a percentage of transactions in every country at a slower or faster pace, depending. But it's certainly the case that cash is no longer as dominant as it was. It's still a very large, and in some countries, it's still the largest form of payment, and it has the advantage of being, you know, there and instant and untraceable, etc. Undoubtedly, there are elements in every government that would like to be able to track more easily people's, you know, spending and payment habits. That's something that I think in the European context is going to take an enormously long lead time to put in place. You know, Germany in particular is fanatically in favour of personal privacy around digital issues. So I think it would take a huge change for a Euro-wide panopticon, as it were, of spending evaluation. Now, that said, you know, the more that something goes through the central bank, the government, the more chance they have of tracking it if they want to. But people who think that, you know, their activities are anonymous and untraceable, you know, are living in a fantasy world. I mean, the reality is if they want to know what you're doing, they know what you're doing.
Yep, certainly in this country now with the most recent High Court order. Professor...
Well, in every country.
Yes, I mean, of course.
You know,
yeah.
In every country.
Yeah,
if, you know, if...
Most of us don't opt out of it either.
My view has always been that if the Five Eyes really are that interested in my online browsing, you know, they've little to be doing.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but that's the same with me also, I have to say, and I've said that on the programme not too long ago.
Exactly.
Professor Brian Lucey,
yes,
thank you very much. I nearly elevated you to the priesthood. Take care, Brian. Thanks very much indeed. Okay, he's a professor at Trinity Business School. All right, more and more of your comments coming in here. Thank you for those. Could you ask Councillor Crossan what the long-term plan for traffic management is for Buncrana? There is no bypass or plans for some of the traffic is chaos and makes Letterkenny look like a well-oiled machine. I haven't ever heard too much about traffic issues in Buncrana. Greg, I was watching the RTE crowd being questioned yesterday. The face of the financial controller when asked what pay he gets was a picture, but had to give it. Definitely wasn't doing his job. One minister said Ryan had taken them to the cleaners now for ruining his reputation by taking him off the radio show. Taxpayers caught out again. That was a strange intervention from that lady in that there is probably going to be a court case, but she was very, for 10 minutes, she persisted with this, you know, are you going to resign for leaving RTE open to compensation of millions? Kept on and on and on and on and at it. The purpose of a financial controller is to control the finances in RTE. They don't know what the word means. Unbelievable and a joke. Tell Nicholas Crossan they made a mess of the pier with the railings for the ferry they put up. He should be talking about this instead of talking about people having fun. Do your job, Nicholas. Greg, Helen McEntee as Minister for Justice has brought in a new law regarding phone tapping and another new one, the new hate speech, which is worrying. Another, I've complained many times to RTE about annoying background music they play, even if it's a serious topic. Can't hear a word the presenter is saying. It's so annoying. Hi, Greg. I heard that employees of RTE got free tickets to rugby concerts, football matches, food, drink in the K Club. Is this a joke? The government needs to act on this at the moment. ESB bills are like a mortgage. Another joke. Well, the person who's in charge of dealing with advertisers had access to this fund to wine and dine them. So she would organise trips to rugby, to the World Cup. Presumably this is the norm, I'm told. And this is to induce them or entice them to take out advertising. Now, of course, we will get a list of who went on them, how many of them were staff, how many of them were clients, I don't know. Another, RTE is government owned and nothing will ever come of this investigation. Yes, someone will take the fall with a big payoff. 100% agree, I wouldn't go swimming off Buncrana Pier. 100% rotten, they say. Greg, Rathmullen Pier is the same. The amount of young ones that jump off the pier, and there is a strong current at that pier too. I'm skipping a little bit between topics here. Back to the one about the digital currency. China and Canada have digital currencies. This means another movement to end cash. Think on Canada when the truckers went on strike. They shut off their access to their bank. Think on China, example, when the people of the village want to get a train ticket to get a protest to a bank closes and the loss of their money. Their access to travel was prevented. When you have no cash, you have nothing. China, Nigeria are not happy, but again, the media is not reporting it. This is a nail in the coffin of freedom. Government will know exactly what, where, and how much you spend. That is if you choose to avail of that service. They're saying
at the moment that it'll be a choice.
All right, so we're learning today that last month, or it's this month actually, June provisionally is the hottest June on record. It's only over the last 83 years we actually know that, but anyway, it is the hottest on record ever. We are seeing, with a difference in temperatures, warmer water than we might normally see. We're seeing mammals or animals in our waters that we might not normally see. We're seeing different types of birds coming. Some birds that are normally here at certain times not coming in the same numbers, or birds are arriving that we don't normally see here. So things are changing, and we can argue the toss as to why. But anyway, Professor Francis Lucy is head of the Department of Environment Science at ATU Sligo and joins us now. Professor, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, so we are seeing changes, aren't we? And we're going to talk about one specific change, I suppose. But we are seeing changes right before our eyes in temperatures, but also then how that impacts the movement of creatures both in the sea and on land.
That's very true. And, you know, the climate change is adding to the mix of our globalization, our change in the way we use our land and our water. And unfortunately, this is resulting in increased probability of spread of potentially nasty creatures in terms of human health. Now, I don't want to alarm people because the mosquitoes that bring West Nile fever are so far have only moved up as far as the Netherlands. But there is every probability that if our climate change escalates as much as it is, and it stays as warm, that some of these mosquitoes that are brought in accidentally or may come in on air patterns, mosquitoes that are already infected with the virus, could spread that to birds, or they may bite birds that come in here that are infected, and potentially we could have episodic West Nile fever occurring in Ireland.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but about the movement of these mosquitoes. I mean, they are edging in our direction because of the way temperatures are changing, and I presume those temperature changes have to be, you know, more sustained or long term rather than a particularly warm summer.
That's right. I mean, really, you know, we could, if we were to have established populations of these mosquitoes here, then we would need to have, you know, sustained higher temperatures in the winter as well as in the summer. And you'll hear everybody, I mean, the old people have always said it, we're far healthier if we have a cold winter because it kills off all sorts of pests, rodents, pathogens. So, yes, you know, in the face of a really changed climate, we are definitely at risk of having, you know, annual events of West Nile fever possibly other.
But presumably mosquitoes moving outside of their traditional territory where the climate would allow. Is that just a natural movement? Is it a survival technique? Are they pre-programmed to populate as much as they can, if you know what I mean?
We talk about, when we talk about spread, we talk about natural spread, and we talk about, you know, human mediated spread. So the introduction of West Nile fever to North America was obviously they weren't going to swim across the Atlantic or be carried across. It came in with human introductions, probably in somebody's suitcase or plants or something like that. Whereas with us here in Ireland, there is a possibility that it could spread naturally because it's been found as far north as the Netherlands. So that's not a big jump to the UK and then, you know, onwards to Ireland via air current. So that is a possibility. More likely, unfortunately, a lot of spread of invaders, that it would come in through globalization, through trade and travel of humans and goods.
It's not just a threat to us, though. It's a threat to plant life, trees and what have you, when we are seeing things that we don't normally see. And there's been some recent examples of that.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's had very high impact on bird populations in North America, and could actually impact on mammals, horses, other animals, cattle. It has varying effects. generally a virus like this, you know, a little bit like COVID, the worst impacts will be on those that are immunosuppressed, whether they're humans or animals, the weak, the very old, the very young.
You've also been talking, finally, Professor, about the need for us to tighten our biosecurity. I mean, if you, anyone who watches some of the more random satellite channels will see, you know, border police in Australia or New Zealand or different countries whereby, you know, you come in there with certain insects or meat or whatever, you might as well have landed with a suitcase full of cocaine, such as the efforts they go to protect their indigenous species and wildlife. Do we need to be taking that a little bit more seriously here, do you think?
Thank you for the opportunity for this. We need to be very vigilant, not just for the introductions into the country, but also to the spread. So Island Radio is covering a large catchment of people that are involved in boating, other aquatic sports, other events. And it's not, you know, I would say anybody who is moving equipment or going hiking, they need to check, clean and dry their hiking boots, their boats, their even their, you know, their waterproof clothing can carry seeds, you know, stuck to it. So please, if you're moving from A to B, particularly if you've been away hiking or boating or fishing and you're bringing that equipment back to Ireland, you need to check it, you need to clean it, you need to dry it. And really, if everybody did that and took personal responsibility for it, we would have less spread, because an awful lot of this spread is by one animal, i.e. humans. So
all right,
it's a personal responsibility. You know, a lot of people blame, oh, there's nobody checking at ports and airports, which is another, I could be here for another half an hour talking about that, but anybody who's listening or you have people that you know that are going out, please, it's our own native ecosystems here, and we need to protect them because they're fragile, particularly due to climate change and other effects.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Professor Francis Lucy, who is Head of Department of Environmental Science at ATU in Sligo. Now, it's going to be unseasonably windy this weekend. We're told it might be a beautiful weekend, I don't know. But anyway, be that as it may, I have a postponement for you. The Remelton Country Market, they were going to have a seaside market on Sunday. It has been cancelled now. Sorry, it's been postponed. It's going to be taking place at a later date. So if you were going to go for that, go to that, you're going to have to wait to another date because it's going to be nasty. Not nasty, but it's just not summery weather to be expected. You really couldn't make it up, read the Tuberty payments, says a listener. But then again, so much corruption in Ireland in all areas. Are we really surprised at all? Makes me sick when I think of Tuberty's last Late Late Show and the sickening fawning of him and him likely knowing about all of this to come. Well, that's another thing that happened over the last couple of days. The timeline as to when people may have known. D. Forbes knew well before the 16th, which was when quite suddenly Ryan Tuberty announced that he was stepping down for the from the Late Late Show and got the swan song, which would not have happened, of course, if that news had a broken at that time. It simply wouldn't have happened. I'm a member of a GEA club, and at every meeting, even an AGM, there is never ever bank accounts for members to see or be available. Is it not law? And all bank accounts should be available at every meeting, especially an AGM, for all club members to see. I think this is where all the problems start. Another, what is wrong with this country? No one will ever do anything unless there is an underpayment for them in it. We need to look at the laws which make acceptance of any cash for any job a jailing offence. So many have been caught but never faced any price for it. How many tribunals has this country had, and it's been nothing but a feeding court for solicitors and barristers? No one's actually held accountable. And let us not remember that there is a very important study, document, investigation into planning in this country, in this county, should I say, that was completed quite some time ago. And a number of housing ministers have been responsible for publishing it. I've asked a minimum of three, maybe four housing ministers, are they going to publish this report into planning in Donegal? Each one has said, yes, I'm going to review it and we'll get it published. And still, whatever is in it, it's not being published. So, you know, we shouldn't forget these things either, because we are right in the in the up to our necks in it as well. Why is that important, really important inquest or inquiry not published? So much money was spent on it. So many questions possibly might be answered, but it's gathering dust on a shelf somewhere. And successive housing ministers have not seen fit to publish it. An open day to mark the opening of the Wheelhouse Glamping site in Burton Port is taking place tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Members of the public are welcome to come along to visit the site, which has 9 glamping pods overlooking Lackanagh Lake. 5 people will be employed at the facility, which has been developed by local man John Riley, who was a guest on the Business Matters podcast recently. It's amazing how easily we are hoodwinked again. Everyone up in arms about the RTE debacle. And while all this is going on, the government is passing more restrictive and controlling laws to keep us in line. This type of carry-on in RTE is going on in many other places. Taxpayers' money, easy come, easy go. Hi, Greg. Talk about RTE. Just look what's happening within our government. The underhand situation we are in, deciding to withhold our own personal data. Also, our president is right. This government is secretly trying to work Ireland towards NATO, not in my name or the majority of Irish citizens. We will not stand for this. They are trying to control our lives under the orders of Europe, believes that listener. If our semi-state broadcaster has all these lavish slush funds, when then they don't need subsidised by the taxpayer, in my opinion. Decent point. This is just another way of controlling the people. Look at it whatever way you want, but this is what's taking place little by little. That could be relating to a number of issues we've talked about this morning. It's refreshing to hear Micheál Colum cop on that left-wing groups have infiltrated and steered to ensure zero threat to government. Sinn Féin springs to mind, they say. And on it goes. Listen, I've got through a good 60, 70% of the comments and I've dedicated much of this hour to them. But time is catching up on us, and it is that time of the week again whereby we take our foot off the pedal of serious stuff and slip into a gear of frivolity and nonsense and what have you. That's entertainment. Some serious stuff we talk about as well, like what show are you watching? 086 60 25,000. Get involved in that conversation. We have Fionnuala, the Highland Radio Overlord, is currently on annual leave, so we have a sub in. I'm sure Fionnuala's listening to see how we're doing. Hi, Fionnuala, if you are. Why are you listening to us rather than sunning yourself with a book? Anyway, if you are, say hello. Back after these.